molding, the salt sprinkled along the baseboards and the building's placement on the end of a pier sticking out over the Mississippi River, all combined to make Zeke's one of the most magically inert places I've ever been outside of a binding circle. I liked it that way. I'd had plenty of magic in my life for a while and was looking for some place to decompress. When an imp in Georgia who owed me a favor told me about this blues joint in Memphis where nobody could cast spells, I decided it had been too long since I had some cool blues and smoking ribs, so I rolled north to Tennessee. Zeke knew who I was the second I walked in his silver-clad door, of course. It's been a minute since I didn't get recognized by most of the supernatural community, at least the power players. He glared at me the whole walk from the door to the barstool, then slid a mug of dark foamy beer in front of me. "You're the one they call Reaper." "Yeah, that's been said once or twice." "You planning on causing any trouble in my bar?" "No." I didn't say anything else, and he didn't ask. That became one of my favorite things about Zeke. His ability to leave it the fuck alone. I sat on that bar stool drinking his homebrew like it was my job, and when the night came to a close, I paid my tab and asked if he knew any place warded that had vacancies. "How long you looking to stay?" "I don't know yet. Going to depend on if I find work and some place to stay." "I thought you were loaded." "Circumstances change." I didn't feel like telling this guy I just met that after returning from hell, I walked away from my money, my friends, my family, and the woman I loved because I was number one on Lucifer's shit list and every demon in the material plane was going to be after me for the rest of my unnaturally long life. Even if he was a good bartender, I didn't unburden that easy. "I could use a bouncer," Zeke said, drying a pint glass with the towel hanging from his waist. I've been watching him clean the bar with that same towel for about 6 hours, so I really questioned the efficacy of his dishwashing at that point, but held my tongue. "Hey," protested a werewolf walking up behind my right shoulder. "You got a bouncer. Me." I raised a fist, bloodying the pup's nose, then got off my stool. I kicked him in the balls while his hands were clapped to his face, then planted a right on his temple when he doubled over. The werewolf dropped like a sack of flour and lay on the sawdust-covered floor, snoring little blood bubbles into the dirt. "I'll take it," I said. "Job come with a room?" Zeke grinned at me. "Downstairs. Door on the back wall of the storeroom. It ain't much, just a bed, a dresser, and a bathroom, but it's even more warded than the rest of the place, and there's a trap door that drops out into the river if things go sideways." He reached for a key ring hanging on a post behind the bar and tossed it to me. "We open at 4. Be sober by then." "I'm sober now," I said, picking up my backpack from the floor beside me. "Thanks." "Thank me after you live through a Saturday night," Zeke said with a grin. "Some of the scraps in here are hell." "Pretty sure they're not," I said. I gave him a little wave over my shoulder as I walked to the stairs. He wasn't lying. The apartment was about as bare bones as anything I'd ever seen, but I'd slept in worse. The bed wasn't too lumpy, and while my feet hung off the end a little, and it wasn't my California king, it was fine. Zeke wasn't lying about the wards, either. The key granted me passage, but when I let my sight drop over my eyes like a veil, the whole room glowed with lines of red, green, and black. Anything coming into this room without a key would have to either be patient with a real talent for complex spellcraft, or more powerful than anything I'd ever faced. Well, almost anything. I sat on the bed and reached into my backpack, pulling out a cell phone and a folded picture. I double-checked the battery was still out of the phone and set it on the small dresser. Dresser was a pretty kind word for a stack of pressboard drawers that made IKEA look like Chippendale furniture. But it was enough to hold my spare pair of jeans, 4 pairs of socks, 4 shirts, and 4 pairs of underwear. Then I kicked off my Doc Marten boots, sat on the bed with my back and shoulders pressed to the wall, and stared at the picture of the dark-skinned woman with long brown curls, regretting every life choice